Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. One more time, welcome to the service in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. We just have to continue where we left off last Sunday, talking about spirit, soul, and body. Man is a spirit, has a soul, and lives in a physical body. So let's quickly go to our foundational scripture, which is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. There you will find out the three parts of man, are written out. You have spirit, soul, and body spelled out right there. That is the word of the Lord, the creator of man. I have always said here that the Bible is the word of God, and that's one. Two, whatever it tells us, is final in our life, or should be final in our life, because the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 4, that let God be true and every man a liar. Now, besides that, God is the creator of man, and the creator or the manufacturer of anything knows it best than any other person. Praise the Lord. All right, so when we open the Bible, like I told us, that shows us exactly who we are, especially the aspect that we cannot contact with our physical senses. We can't see, we can't touch. The only way we know how we are is by going to the Bible. All right, so right here, the Bible says in verse 23 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you see that a human being is a tripartite being or a three-part being. And we come back to our drawing. This is just an attempt to represent, this is written or drawn for illustration. So you see spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, soul, and body. You have the spirit, you have the body, separated by the soul. So always the soul is between the body and the spirit. In this diagram as well, it's the same. The spirit is the innermost being, the innermost being. Like I said it last time, that's what Peter calls it, the hidden man of the heart. Why Apostle Paul calls it the inner man. The inner man. So it is the innermost. The outer one is the soul, and the body is the outermost part of the being. So while we can relate to the body, we can feel it, we can see it. And also, we can feel the soul, even though we cannot see it, because that's a mind, where our mind and our emotions are. But the spirit you cannot see, neither can you feel. The only way to know what is going on there is to go to the Bible. Praise the Lord. The Bible says in John chapter 6, verse 63, that the spirit are quickened. The flesh prophesied nothing. The word I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And in James chapter 2, let's go to James chapter 2. You find out that talking about the body without the spirit. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. I said last time that what makes somebody alive, or that the spirit is the life-giving part of the human being. The human being is made of three parts, but the part of it that gives life is the spirit part. Am I communicating? All right. The part that gives life is the spirit. Because you have spirit, soul, and body. And the Bible says in James chapter 2, verse 26, that the body without the spirit is dead. What it means is that the only time a person dies, or they say the person dies, is when the person leaves the body. Spirits don't die. Spirits can only change geographical location. They can only move from one place to the other, from one location to the other. Like a Christian, a born-again Christian, when he leaves his body, he goes to be with the Lord. All right, so spirits do not die. They can only change geographical locations. Praise the Lord. Just like we left our homes today to come to service, when you leave a place, you are going somewhere else. All right, so the Bible is, are you in James chapter 2, verse 26? All right. The Bible says right there, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Faith without corresponding action, without you doing anything about it. You said, okay, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. The word says that I am healed. Okay? The Bible says so. Yeah, what are you doing about it? You know, you lie down on your bed. You ask for anything, everything that you want. You want somebody to attend to you lying down. All right? All you say is that by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. It's not enough. You need to put the word to work. You need to act on the word. That's why when you hear people minister healing, all right, they, after ministering healing to you, they say, do what you couldn't do before. All right, do what you couldn't do before the prayer or before the laying on of hands. All right, so they want you to do something, all right, different from what you did or couldn't do before the prayer was ministered. Praise the Lord. All right, so as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Faith without deed, faith without action, faith without corresponding action. But we're talking about spirit, soul, and body here. And why I'm saying that is to buttress the fact that the spirit man is the part of man that gives life to the body. John chapter 6, verse 63. Again, it is the spirit that quickeneth. You want to open to that? John chapter 6, verse 63. It is the spirit that quickeneth or that gives life. The flesh or the body profiteth nothing. The word that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. They are spirit and they give life. Praise the Lord. All right, I started trying to let us know or show us from the Bible what each component, the three parts, what each of the components consists of. The body we can relate to, we touch it, we see it. That's what contains all our five physical senses. Sense of sight, hearing, smelling, touching, and tasting. All right, so we can relate to that. When we are cold, we know we are cold. If it's hot, too hot here, we will know that. Very soon it will be clear to every one of us that it's winter. All right, some of us may not be sure now what it is. But very soon, you don't need anybody to tell you because you will feel it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, so we contact the world or our environment with our bodies. Praise the Lord. And I also remember saying that what gives us authority to dwell on the earth is our physical bodies. And I also encourage us to take care of our physical bodies. We need to take care of it. We do not have to abuse our bodies. We do not have to abuse our bodies. We need it. Because the only way we can continue living here on earth is that our bodies are healthy. Our bodies are functioning. If our bodies cease to function, we cannot continue here. Praise the Lord. So we have to take care of our bodies. We need to feed our bodies, and we feed them with good things, good food. We don't have to abuse them with things like taking too much sugar or salt or flour or a combination of the three. These are killers. We have to be very careful, you know, how we consume all these things, because they have damaging effects in our bodies. Praise the Lord. So we have to be very careful. For those who drink, of course, you are not encouraged to drink too much alcohol. You could take a little of that, because the Bible didn't say you must not take alcohol. That's not what the Bible says. It's drunkenness that the Bible condemns. But the only way to become drunk is to start by taking alcohol. Praise the Lord. All right, so the Word of God has to be rightly divided. God, the Bible didn't condemn alcohol outrightly. But if you don't drink, it's better for you, because you wouldn't have any problems with drunkenness, which is a sin. Neither will you face the danger of liver problems, because alcohol damages the liver. So we are talking about taking care of our bodies. Some of these problems, if not most, that people have are avoidable. Praise the Lord. For instance, you cannot develop liver problems when you do not consume excess alcohol. Alcohol may not be the only reason or the only cause of liver problems, but at least it's a major cause. All right, so if you cut down alcohol or take it out completely or avoid it completely, then you would have prevented or protected yourself from the evil or the damage that alcohol would do to your liver. I'm just using this as an example. There are other things, all right, that we eat that are not good for us. We shouldn't be eating those things that are not good for us. We should be eating things that will keep us healthy, because we need good health, we need good body to function here on earth. Praise the Lord. No matter how strong your spirit is, you still need your body to go with it. Hallelujah. Now, your soul is also very important. Now, your life goes in the direction of your dominant thoughts. And what part of the three? Or I mean, which part of the three components, you know, where do you have your mind? Your mind is in your soul. All right? The Bible warns or instructs us in Proverbs chapter 23. All right, let's go there quickly. Proverbs 23. It says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is it. As he thinketh in his heart, so it is. It's a behavior science, or those are in behavior therapy area, all right, which I'm a part of. I was reading something or listening to something days ago, and I was actually listening to a lecture, and the lady lecturing made a statement. Now, when she said that, I know, wow, the Bible said it thousands of years ago. What she said is that our thoughts affect our feelings. This is not new for us that know the Bible, that our thoughts affect our feelings. The Bible says, as a man thinketh. The Bible has been here for thousands of years. Praise the Lord. All right, so we know this. Most of the things that these people say or take, they take it from the Bible. All right? They shape it, they give it a different package. But, you know, the Bible is the source. I see people read things, motivational materials. They listen to people talk. Everything they are saying is here in the Bible. Everything. All right? They can package it differently. They may not want to use the Bible because of political correctness. Nobody wants to mention the Bible there. But go to the Bible, you see that is the source or the root of what all they are saying, whether they believe in the Bible or not. Praise the Lord. All right, so this Bible is loaded. There's nothing you need that you can't find in the Bible. Any good thing that you can't find in the Bible. Little one that the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, that God has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything you would ever need to succeed in this life is written in the Bible. God has made it available to you. Praise the Lord. So you need to read the Bible always. The more of that, about the more time you spend reading the Bible, the more the Word of God you know, the better for you. Praise the Lord. All right, so talking about as a man thinking, you know, so is it. Your mind is very, very important. I remember doing a message or giving a message on what's on your mind. What's on your mind is important because that determines what happens to you in life. What do you think about? And the Bible goes ahead to tell us what to think about in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Praise the Lord. All right, so when we think about, let's go there, please. Philippians chapter 4. We're dealing with the soul now. All right, so we're going down to the spirit, the main man. Philippians chapter 4. It tells us what to think about. If what you think about wasn't important, God wouldn't tell you what to think about. He wouldn't bother with that. God is too busy to, you know, waste his time. So anytime he tells you anything, know that that thing is important. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's back up to verse 6. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. I'll read through verse 8. Verse 6, I read, be careful for nothing, or don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. If what you think about is not important or was not important, God wouldn't have told you what to think about. What you think about is very, very important. Your life goes in the direction of what you think about. Your life goes in the direction of your dominant thoughts. If you believe the Bible when it says that he has commanded his blessings upon whatever you lay your hands to do, then that's what it is. But some people believe that they can never, you know, succeed in whatever they do. Some believe they can never get promotion on their jobs, and that's exactly what is happening to them. Some believe they can't make progress in life, and that's what is happening to them. Some believe that they cannot get jobs, or they can't change jobs, and that's exactly where they are. Some believe that they can't get any good person to marry, whether a man or a woman, and that's exactly where they are. They are stranded. Some believe that their marriages will not work, and that's where they are. But the Bible instructs us to think on these things. Things that are true, things that are honest, things that are lovely, things that, you know, contain praise. Things that are worthy of praise. Things that build up, or not things that pull down. So these things are important. What you think about is important. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Very, very important. God doesn't waste his time. Anything he tells you, just know that it's important. If it's important to God, if it's that important for God to mention it, or, you know, write it in the Bible, just know that it's important. It should be important to you as well. Praise the Lord. All right, so be careful what you hear. Be careful what you listen to. Just like we heard this morning, you know, during the Bible reading section, what you put in your heart is what is going to come out. The Bible says that we should guard our hearts. We should protect it. Right? We should protect it. It's our responsibility. God is not going to guard your heart for you. He has told you what to do. He wouldn't do what he tells you to do. Praise the Lord. Now, how does God lead us? God tells us what to do. But we have to do what he says. Praise the Lord. So if he said we should guard our heart, then we should guard our heart. He wouldn't say, guard your heart, then come around, you know, to guard it for you. No, he has told you what to do. Just like he gave us the choice in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. Praise the Lord. All right, let's look at that quickly. Is it 30:19 or 19:30? 30:19, praise the Lord, because sometimes I flip them. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. He will tell you what to do, but you have to do what he says. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. He has set before us life and death, blessing and cursing. And he said we should choose life. All right? He didn't just give us the two options. He even told us they wanted to choose. So what happens if you choose otherwise? You suffer the consequences. But if you choose life, like he said, you and your seed or offsprings would live or benefit from that. He will tell you what to do, but you have to do what he says. Whatever he tells you, do it. Jesus told the people that were serving at that marriage what to do. Fill the water pots with water and draw from that to the governor of the feast. He told them what to do. He didn't do what he told them to do for them. And the Bible says in John chapter 2 from verses 5 down, they did what he said. They filled the water pots, drove from there to the governor of the feast, and they found out that they had a miracle. Water turned to wine, and the best wine that they ever had in that ceremony. God will tell you what to do, but you have to do what he says. Somebody say, I will always do what God tells me. Praise the Lord. You need to be careful what you hear. That's why I always emphasize that we should avoid, we know about unbelief. Unbelief comes from everything that contradicts the Bible. Everything. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter who is saying that or who is presenting what. As long as it contradicts the word of God or counterbalances, you know, your faith or opposes the word of God, it is, you don't need it. You don't need anything that generates unbelief in you, anything, whether it's electronic media or print media. As long as what it presents to you or offers is unbelief, you do not need it. Praise the Lord. Why? Because unbelief is dangerous to your faith. As a Christian, you are entitled or allowed only one lifestyle, and that is the faith lifestyle. But the Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, that for the just shall live by faith. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, we walk by faith and not by sight. Romans chapter 8, verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, so, and how do you get this faith? The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Any other thing that is contrary to the word of God can only bring things that would negate or counterbalance your faith. Those things are unbelief. And you don't need it. Unbelief will neutralize your faith or cause your faith to be ineffective. You don't need that. Praise the Lord. You need things that will build you up. You need your faith to be built up. God has given to every man the measure of faith. So it's not about the size of your faith. It's the size of your unbelief that causes you or causes your faith not to deliver or not to be effective. Praise the Lord. Everyone at the new birth received the measure of faith. The measure of faith. Romans chapter 1. Let's go there quickly. Is it Romans chapter 1? Yeah. Praise the Lord. The measure of faith. That's where I'm going. Sorry, Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Well, let's read from verse 1. Romans 12, verse 1 through 3. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God had dealt to every man or woman the measure of faith. The measure of faith. There's just one measure of faith. The measure of faith. Praise the Lord. Somebody say, I have the measure of faith. All right, it's a equal measure, right? This measure of faith is the faith of the Son of God. The measure of faith that you have is equal to the faith of the Son of God. The same faith or quality or measure of faith that Jesus walked with when he walked the earth, the same you have. Praise the Lord. The measure of faith. And that's why he declares in John chapter 14, verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever believeth in me, the works I do shall he do also, and greater works than this shall he do, for I go to the Father. Turn to that, please. John chapter 14, verse 12. If you didn't have the faith, his faith, he wouldn't. If you didn't have the same faith, then he wouldn't have said that. John chapter 14, verse 12, yes. John 14, 12. It's not about give me more faith. You don't need more faith. What you need to do is to diminish your unbelief. Pull a plug on your unbelief and leak it out. And your measure of faith, the measure of faith that you have, would work. Praise the Lord. Okay, verily, verily, I say unto you, it's a red letter, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than this shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than this shall he do, because I go unto my Father. See, the way most people read this is that he that believeth of me, the works I do, is he or she capable of doing. This is the way most people read this. But I read it differently. Praise the Lord. Just keep your eyes on that scripture. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than this shall he do, because I go to the Father. I said that the way people understand it, the average Christian understands this scripture, is that I have the capacity to do what Jesus can do. But that's not only what the Bible is saying. You not only have the capacity to do what Jesus, did, But what Jesus is saying, what I have done, you should do. Look at it again. Not only do you have the capacity, that's correct. But you should do what I have done, and great more of what I have done. Praise the Lord. I came here because I said that we have the measure of it that Jesus operated by when he walked the earth. The difference between him and us, that Jesus never had any unbelief. He didn't entertain unbelief at all. So nothing could neutralize his faith. But nowadays, there's so much unbelief that your faith, you know, cannot function. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 17, go there quickly. Matthew chapter 17, we'll read from verse 19, but we are going to 20-21. Matthew 17. Praise the Lord. All right, look at verse. We're talking about when the people, when his disciples could not. Look at verse 19. The disciples could not cast out the devil, and they wanted to know why they couldn't. Said, then came the disciples to Jesus apart, after they have failed to, you know, cast out the devil, and Jesus cast out the devil, right? So they were concerned. His disciples were concerned. Verse 19. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? Verse 24. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. You couldn't cast him out because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. People don't look at this. You know, some translations that say because of little faith. That is very contradictory. Because if you have ever seen a grain of mustard seed, you know that if you don't have good eyesight, you will not be able to recognize it. It's that tiny. All right, so what Jesus is saying here, that even if, look at the Bible, that it's not the issue of the size of your faith. That even if your faith is as tiny, as little as that of a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. The problem is unbelief. The problem is not the side of faith. For you have the faith of God, or the measure of faith that Jesus operated by. Praise the Lord. So you need to be careful with unbelief, or how you allow unbelief come into your heart. If you allow much unbelief into your heart, then it's going to be dangerous. It's going to be difficult for you to live by faith, the only lifestyle that you are allowed to live as a believer. So you need to starve unbelief, but you need to feed fat on the faith. How do you get faith? To the word of God. You need to build yourself up. You need to fire yourself up. You need to, the Bible talks about in Jude chapter 1, verse 20, he said we need to, I want to use the exact word that Jude uses, Jude chapter 1, build up. You need to stir yourself up. You need to build yourself up on your most holy faith. Jude chapter 1, it's only one chapter, verse 20. It says, But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit or in the Holy Ghost. You need to build yourself up. It's like stirring yourself up. Stirring yourself up. Right? Build up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So just keep focusing on the Word of God. Don't focus on things that contradict the Word of God. Don't focus on things that oppose the Word of God. They introduce unbelief in your life, in any and every area. Whether it's in relationship, whether it's in your job, whether it's in your business, whether it's in your relationship, whatever, whether it's your marriage, whether it's in your academics, you know, whatever it is in every area. Anything that contradicts the Word of God, you don't need it. Praise the Lord. I say praise the Lord. All right, so let's talk a little about the Spirit. The Spirit is where you have everything that pertains to life and godliness loaded. But how do you walk in it? How do you operate it? How do you enjoy it? We have to find out as we continue with this next Sunday. How does this happen? Healing, for instance, is already lost. It's a reality. It's a done deal, but it is lost in your spirit. Let me use now your spirit. It's in the spirit man. So how does it come to your body? How do you enjoy it? All things that pertain to life and godliness that the Bible says God has given unto us, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, is already in your spirit. Everything that you ever need. How do you get it? Or how do you enjoy it? We'll get into all this next time. Give God praise.